Did you get a chance to look at those WASD numbers, specifically the corn at that 188 plus? We're going to talk about how the markets are reacting to that, and is it the final number? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo is joining us. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And this big corn yield number coming in, many folks have been talking about for weeks. So it shouldn't come as a surprise we saw these numbers.
Yeah, I think that's probably very likely at this point, Susan. And I think one of the things that probably needs to be addressed in the future reports will have to be the fact that not only did we see a near 189 national yield put out, but we also saw a huge shift in the acreage base where the beans gave up about 2.5 million harvested acres and corn took about 2 million of those harvested acres. And so if you're talking about 88.7 million harvested acres with a 188.8 yield, I've already had several clients in Illinois and Indiana call in and say that's just not happening. And I think the other point that needs to be made here when it comes to what we're talking about on those two things is USDA gives us a sample size, it gives us a field survey, it gives us remote sense satellite imagery, it also gives us the dates that they had been looking at things. And you know, for me, the USDA came out and said their imagery for the Corn Belt focus area was as of July 27th. Between too much rain hitting already waterlogged areas and too little rain not coming into areas that were already starting to become dry at the first of the month, I do think there's a pretty wide door to walk through that you will get and could get a lower yield number in the corn, especially in and also the soybeans, because they obviously are the ones the market's focusing on, because since they lost 2.5 million harvested acres, even though their yield went up to 53.6 from 52.5 last month, the trade knows that this hotter, drier weather forecast coming in pre-report is very much something that will determine the soybean yield. So it's natural to think that the corn is the leader to the downside, both in terms of actual numbers, supply-demand figures, and as well, you know, how much the future weather through the rest of the month of August and early September can crimp the yields, and that's going to be the trade mindset mostly in the soybean.
You bring up a very good point, because there's still a lot of this growing season that is left to go, and there's a lot of factors that could continue to weigh into these final numbers.
There really is. And on the Monday afternoon numbers on crop conditions and progress, we were at 58% dough in the corn and 14% dented. That compared with about 71% pod setting in the soybean. So, I mean, I would argue that several of my farmer clients on both sides of the Corn Belt, both sides of the Mississippi River, have told me that they're very nervous about the early heat coming in too quickly. And we're starting to see kernel depth and probably girth in the corn, and maybe potentially test weights become a bigger factor as time goes on. Now, that's probably not going to be known until at least October, maybe all the way into November, when we actually see the physical samples, you know, being run through the USDA labs. And so I'm not banking on the idea that we're going to have a hard turnaround to the upside unless it's soybean led and unless it's wheat led. And I'm nervous about the wheat more than I have been all year. But I would also say, when you look at the stocks to use ratios in the wheat, we actually look pretty decent, because USDA did cut our ending stocks pretty substantially, going from about 890 million bushels down to 869. So a 21 million bushel loss. And that took our stocks to use ratios from about 44.3% in the domestic wheat complex to below 43%. And so we actually have a pretty tight scenario, both domestically and globally, in the wheat. We still have a pretty tight world corn stocks to use ratio at 21.9 versus 21.3 last month. And then obviously the beans have taken it down quite a bit, with the ending stocks number coming in below 125 million metric tons today. That was below the lowest trade guess on the news wires.
So from a marketing standpoint, and obviously we saw a drop happen in the corn market today in reaction to those numbers, what are your thoughts moving forward? Obviously, marketing plans are very important to our growers out there, but where do we see this movement and the kind of mentality going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I'm one of those that this year has been much more in favor of hedging beans because they're more profitable, also because of the world supply demand, and also because of our loss of Chinese business. And even though those fundamentals are still very much in play, today's report really speaks heavily to the idea you need to worry more about the corn in the short term going into harvest than you do the soybeans. And so with very little corn sold for the 2025 marketing year, I've got to be prepared to start dumping off the combine at this stage of the game, watching basis more closely than I was expecting to have to watch it, expecting that the corn yields would be a little bit tighter than what we got today, and therefore the carryover would have stayed below 2 billion bushels. That was kind of my mindset, and then we would end up being able to get closer to a 1.7, 1.8 carryover by the end of the marketing year with increasing demand, Susan. So my first thing to do for clients and subscribers is to watch the basis and watch the fall price and have to navigate that for the off the combine bushels. That's going to be extra hard because of what we've talked about. What are the off the combine bushels going to be? Is my corn crop shrinking? So it's going to be difficult marketing for the next 30 days for me in the corn market because of this report. Soybeans should be a little easier. If I can stay above 10.15 in November beans, I'm going to try and eke out another leg to the upside in the November contract and then resume selling as we get ready for the harvest season there. Again, being very mindful of yield potential losses, probably doing more puts and paper positions to protect the downside and put floors in place than too many cash sales too early.
And we really shouldn't be surprised that President yesterday said, well, I don't know if there'll be an extension for China, just wait and see. Then shortly thereafter, he said, yep, there's another 90-day extension going on.
Yeah, and that was another real bonus for the bean complex, with the idea that we can breathe a sigh of relief. A bonus for the meat complex as well, and that's another thing. This report in the grains, you can see the green light was essentially turned on to the funds, I think, to buy feeders and sell corn. And so, you know, what we experienced last Friday in terms of downside, talking to clients and subscribers, I was like, these numbers are going to be as important to the meat market and livestock futures as they are the grains. And so we see the dynamic here still playing out where the funds want to still be long feeders and short corn. So we'll let that run for another week or two and then readdress it down the road.
All right. How about these boxed beef and demand that's out there? It has kind of helped put this cattle market back on fire again.
It has. And we still have that discount on the August fat cattle. It was, you know, $2 or $3 cheaper than where we were before the report. But even at 235, 236 in August fat cattle, as we head into Tuesday's close, we still have a discount of about $5 against the negotiated cash price in terms of, you know, the last time we saw some good negotiated cash trade. So that keeps the August futures underneath the cash, and August futures is getting ready to go off the board at the end of the month. And since that's still physically delivered, it still suggests that the August and the cash need to come together in the next 10 or 12 days. So between that and what we're seeing in the stock market and Wall Street and some of the consumption data that we've been looking at as far as McDonald's, Burger King, Yum Brands, earnings estimates coming out, yes, we're losing consumption, but it's not falling off a cliff yet. So that's all good news and really opens the idea up. Maybe between now and the end of the month, we can get a recovery in these prices, maybe test the old highs, maybe even go through them. And then I'd say, let's get ready for the fourth quarter for the idea that maybe we'll see some bigger production numbers and therefore need to get those floors back underneath us.
Well, as always, appreciate your thoughts. Mike Zuzulo joining us. And a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap up on the American Ag Network.